Good morning. Please join me with the call to worship. We have come from north and south and east and west to share our faith with one another and to praise our triune God. Would you please rise as you are able to speak the words which call our hearts to worship. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world,
who destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ,
who has forgiven our sins according to the riches of his grace,
and has made known to us the mystery of his will.
This is our God. Let us worship him together.
Please join me as we confess who we are. We are anxious, hurting people who say we believe, and yet we often turn from challenges, failing to trust that God will make all things new. Let us stand as we are able to state who we are and seek God's forgiveness. How many times, O Lord, do we live in unbelief?
Forgive us for the ways in which we live according to what is right in our eyes. righteous and holy person. Forgive us when we fail to understand and accept that Christ is truly the promised Messiah, your Son. Help us guide him, Holy Spirit, to open our hearts to be led and taught in the ways of the kingdom of God. Forgive us when we seek to please others more than we seek to love and please God. Help us, O Holy One, to turn our hearts, to offer our prayers, and to accept the forgiveness you offer to all who come to you in the acceptance of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
This is what the Lord who redeemed Abraham says. No longer will their faces grow pale. They will keep my name holy and will stand in awe of God of Israel. When they do, those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding, and those who complain will accept instruction. And those who are faithful will know that forgiveness is ours through the promised Son of God. Believe and have faith in God's mercy and grace, given to all who proclaim and believe in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Therefore, I say to you with great joy, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace now with one another by waving.
back. It is well with all of our souls having them here. I would like to invite Miss Olivia up. Are there any other young children who want to share up here with us? No? Okay. You're cool coming up here on your own? All's well? All is well with your soul? Yeah? Yeah, good. You know, today we're going to hear in the Bible story about a banquet. Do you know what a banquet is? No. Do you know what a feast is?
When you have a lot of food.
Yes! A banquet is like a feast. You got a lot of food all over the table. And all kinds of people come, especially the rich and famous. Yeah? Okay? And at a banquet, you're usually celebrating something
or honoring somebody.
And it's a really wonderful thing. I think, Jonathan, do they do banquets for band anymore at the end of the marching season? Yeah. And all the marching bands people get together and they have a great big old, it's basically a party. You like parties? Yeah, everybody likes parties. Who likes parties? Oh, yeah. See, everybody. That's a good thing. So today we're going to have a party. Isn't that fun? We're going to have a banquet. We're going to have a feast. Right here. You see all the food? Wait a minute. I only see a loaf of bread. Do you see more food?
No.
No. Wow. How are we going to have a feast with bread? And you know what I also see? Come around here. Come to the back.
Ooh.
Stuff. Oh, hello, buddy. We have a moth up here.
What's in there?
You think it's juice?
Yeah, it's grape juice. It's grape juice.
Yeah. And I'm going to pour the grape juice
into this lovely, lovely cup, which we call a chalice, okay?
I'm going to break the bread,
and I'm going to
bless it, because
Jesus did that.
Jesus broke bread and blessed it,
and gave
it to all of his friends. And even though it was only a loaf of bread
and a little
bit of wine, of grape wine, it was a feast, because it drew them together in brotherhood and sisterhood, in fellowship with Jesus, their Lord and Savior. And we were honoring Jesus when we do this, okay?
So today we're having a feast. We're having a banquet.
And I am so glad that you get to share in that banquet today, okay? All right. You want to say a prayer with me? Put your hands up here on the table. Okay. Let's pray. Dear God, you called us brothers and sisters to Jesus. And together with the disciples, we are blessed to receive the feast that Jesus himself blessed when he broke bread and passed the chalice. Help it to fulfill us, to sustain us so that we can serve God and rejoice always in the gifts of Jesus. And all of God's children said together, Amen.
Thank you. Go on. You can go on. And I guess there's no kids' time today, so. Because it is communion, she gets to say. Okay. Thank you.
That's better. Yeah, let's do this dance. Good idea. Teamwork, that's what we are here for together as churches. Thanks. How about that? Can you hear me now? Feel like an ad for a cell phone company. But we're here together to celebrate Jesus our Lord and to worship Him and to hear God's word for us. The word that we hope lifts our spirits. But today's story from Mark is not what I would call uplifting. And I apologize for reading it, but this is the lectionary at work, and I think that we need to hear it still, unsettling though it may be. So I invite you to listen with me to Mark chapter 6. Beginning at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? And she replied, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet, out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And as much as I want to preach from the chair today, we need to be able to focus better. So why? Why is this utterly sickening mess served up on a platter as today's lectionary passage? It's definitely not good news. And except to continue wondering who he is, it barely even mentions Jesus. The story asks if he's Elijah or another prophet, or if, as in Herod's mind, the ghost of John the Baptist raised from death. The king seems to be quite troubled by what he had ordered done with that prophet. And his mind wanders back to that event. So let's set the stage on this scene that we've just heard. First, this Herod is not the same Herod that had made all the male babies killed 30-odd years ago, okay? Not the same guy. That king was Herod the Great, and he was this Herod's father. And one look at the family tree quickly reveals that the apple does not fall far from the tree. Now, what I'm going to do next is pretty geeky, but still, it's good basic Bible study information. So bear with me, and I hope you find it interesting too. Little family tree here. Herod the Great's first wife was Doris, and with her he had a son, whom he murdered. Then there was Mariamne the Hasmonean, with whom he had two sons, both of whom he also murdered. The third wife was Mariamne the Boethusian. And together they had a son, Herod Philip. Now, surprisingly, Dad did not kill this son. Next came Mothake, who bore Herod Antipas, and another son who has faded from history. Finally, Herod the Great married Cleopatra of Jerusalem, with whom he had Philip the Tetrarch. And Tetrarch is a Roman title. Great, huh? Yeah? So can any of you quickly name all six wives of Henry VIII along with their faves? Crazy, right? Maritally, Herod the Great can certainly count himself in Henry VIII's league. But he certainly wasn't the powerful King Henry was. In fact, he is rather pathetic. His kingship is based on a Roman appointment, and you know how Romans chose the weakest leaders as their representatives. And they followed this pattern when they named Herod Antipas the next king for the Hebrew tribe. And Antipas soon followed the pattern his father had begun. It's a downward spiral, you know. Anyway, as an adult, Herod Philip, Mariamne the Boethian's son, married a woman named Herodias. Herodias. Now, the sources I referenced noted that Herodias was rather promiscuous. Still, while she and Philip lived as wealthy private citizens in Rome instead of nasty old Jerusalem, they had a daughter, which in the version I just read, which is NRSV, named her Herodias also, but most sources called her Salome. A few years later,
Herod Antipas came to Rome to visit the two. And, you know, things happen. Oh, I did forget to mention something. Herodias was not just Herod Philip's wife. She was the daughter of one of Herod the Great's previously murdered sons. So Herod Philip was married to his half-sister when the liaison with Antipas happened. Are you getting all this? It's a mess. And I'm not sure what kind of niece or daughter that makes Salome. Perhaps Antipas' title ensnared Herodias' heart. I mean, king of the Jews, you know? For Herodias soon left Philip for Antipas. And the two headed back to Jerusalem, where she probably realized the mistake of her move. The woman was power-driven, and I suspect she wanted to retain her place as power behind the throne, even though she was beginning to get a little long in the tooth. And I believe that's why she instructed her daughter, Salome, to dance for her stepfather during the great banquet. But I don't believe that this was a prim and proper state dinner, as you might find in most halls of power these days. No, no, no. It was really an overindulgent, bacchanalian, Hollywood-style free-for-all, given for the pleasure of all the rich and famous. What's worse, there is strong historical evidence that female dancers at such feasts were basically, and excuse me for saying this, the pole dancers of their day. If that was Salome's case, it's no wonder Herod Antipas made the offer to her that he did. Whole thing turns my stomach. Some mother, right? Yet here, young Salome asks her what she should take from stepdad. Now, Herodias did not take kindly to anyone who did not bow to her wishes. So when John the Baptist told Antipas, which he did, that he should not have married this one brother's daughter, who was his other brother's wife, he crossed a very wide and deep line in the sand with that woman. Ordinarily, despotic rulers like Antipas killed those who dared speak out, but for some reason, as you heard, this prophet held the king's respect and made him nervous. So he merely imprisoned John, at least until Herodias asked for the man's head. Oh, the thrill of power over life and death that she must have felt. Makes you wonder if Antipas wasn't afraid of her. He certainly had no backbone with which to stand up against her, and he had no will against being shamed by that woman in front of all the beautiful people of the Hebrew kingdom. Sick. The whole feast was putrid. The scene was also very, very worldly. Herod Antipas may have been treated as a Jew by the Roman overlords, but he was just as swine-like as many of them were. And what about Salome's reaction when the executioner placed the platter with John's head in her hands? Can you imagine? It's simply dreadful. Worse than Hamlet with Yorick's skull. However, this gift was good news for Herodias. She was probably pleased as punch. With all this sickening behavior, it is no surprise Herod wondered if John hadn't come back in the form of Jesus to haunt him. But the resurrection was still 2 to 3 years off. Oh, dear Mark, Dear, dear Mark, how do we see good news in this story? We don't. At least not until Mark offers the story of a very different banquet. Now, the lectionary provides a very good structure through which we consider most of the Bible in 3 years' time. And today's story is part of that lectionary cycle. But even so, a good many stories are left out. Excuse me. And I believe that if we're to make some sense of this disgustingly painful story from Mark's gospel, we need to pair it with the story of this other banquet, a story that begins at verse 34 of chapter 6, which, if you've got your Bibles handy, let's read along. 34. As he went ashore, this is Jesus, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of 50s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the bread and set it, gave it to his disciples to set before the people, and then he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there were no vats overflowing with wine at this hillside feast. No lascivious old men or young dancing girls. There's only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes available to feed 5,000 people. The guests weren't dressed in regal finery. They were ordinary folks who worked hard for their money. But they'd heard about this new preacher who seemed to offer hope for life in uncertain and desolate times. And they wanted to hear what he had to say. So they flocked to the lush, verdant hillside near the Galilee. And they sat down and listened. They'd probably been sitting there for hours. For late in the day, the disciples told Jesus he should send them away to get something to eat. Yeah, those guys, at least in Mark, they never seemed to understand what Jesus would really want them to do. But Jesus wasn't having it. He was a compassionate host who knew community and hope grow when hospitality is shown by serving a good meal. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Some meal. And yet the 5,000 who had gathered there all received enough nourishment to satisfy their bodies and their souls. Don't you wonder what they did with the 12 baskets of leftovers? Some meal. Some meal indeed. Who is this man, Jesus? Ezekiel? Another prophet? Not John the Baptist. So who is he? And what does he offer? One of my favorite contemporary theologians is David Loos. And he says that Jesus is the man who offers abundant life. Listen for his words. Jesus came to make possible for us more than mere survival, more than mere persistence, more than even mere success. Jesus came to help us to imagine that there is more to life than we can perceive. Jesus came to offer us not just more life, but abundant life. And when your marriage is ending, or you fear your child will never speak to you again, or you're pretty sure your friend has betrayed you, or you think you may have just screwed up the one relationship that meant something to you, then the possibility of another ending, a good ending, is indeed not just good news, but the best news you can imagine. The best news. All the overly rich, wine-infused food in the world cannot measure up to the fulfillment as the compassionate hope Jesus offers those who come to sit at table in the kingdom of God. And today, we will again be fed by our Lord, the Lord Jesus. He will provide abundantly for our needs, strengthening us for all we will face in the coming days. And then, like the 12 disciples who passed the bread and fishes throughout this flock, we too will be asked to provide for those who hunger. And through the abundance of Jesus' love, everyone will be able to eat until they are satisfied. The feeding of the 5,000 bookends the traumatic tale of John's beheading. Where there was death and loss, dismay and delusion, there can now be health and wholeness and hope. My friends, this lectionary story we were given is not good news. It is a reminder that senseless tragedies, like the corruption of a young woman and the beheading of a good man, have occurred in every generation since Adam and Eve. And sometimes we do need to hear them so we can remember the unexpected joy of the abundant life that Jesus has offered to all of those he met and still meets through us, if we but allow him to do so. Amen.
Please join me as we state our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He ascended into heaven, and into heaven. Thence he shall come to the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this table has been prepared for us. This is not our table that we own. It is not the denomination's table. It is not our table at home. This is the table offered to us by our God, and all are welcome here. So come to this feast. Come. If your faith is blossoming and as full as summer, and come. If it is full of questions and rebellion in your heart, come. For our God awaits to serve you with joy, with hope, and with peace. May the God of steadfast love be with you. People of God, offer your hearts to God. Children of God, sing your praises to the one who has gathered us here. Let us pray. It was you, imaginative God, who whispered and the rumble of creation shook the rafters of chaos. Mighty trees graced valleys with shade. Stars glittered in moonless nights. Children splashed in the pools of hope. Every delight was crafted so we might know of that love which would last forever. When we could not have our way, we took offense at your hopes for us, throwing tantrums as we took flight to follow sin and death throughout the world. Amazed at our crafty rebellion, you continued to love us, longing to shelter us in your heart. When we continued to dishonor your prophets, when we would not welcome their words, you sent Jesus to become that weakness strong enough to destroy sin and death. So we join our voices with all who have wondered at your steadfast love, singing your name to the edges of the universe, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of enduring love. All the gifts of creation delight in you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one whose weakness is our hope. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, God of all goodness and truth, and blessed is Jesus, your child, our Savior. It was he who came, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, with words which would transform our foolishness, with weakness which could strengthen our fatigued faithfulness, with wisdom which could teach us the way of life in all its fullness. Yet we were offended by his life, his ways, his humility. He continued to listen to you, going wherever you sent him. No glory, no wealth, no honor, even to that place called Calvary where sin's thorns crowned him. Your grace was enough for him. Even in the cold shadows of the tomb, and he walked forth into your steadfast love, leaving death behind in the dust. As we remember his calling to us to follow, we seek to be sent forth to serve, and we proclaim that mystery we call faith. Christ came to shape our lives like his. Christ came to be our guide forever. Christ will come again to gather us in glory. So now, in this place where we have heard your promises among these people in whom we have seen the Christ, pour your spirit upon the gifts of your table. The broken bread of life is all we need of hope fulfilled. We can go forth to anoint the lost and hopeless with the oil of your compassion. Your cup of grace overflows more than we will ever need, and more than enough to bring healing to those who have known only hardship, rejection, and loneliness. And when at the end of all time we discover that it was you who had led us all along the way and brought us to the table in glory, we will join our voices as one, singing our praise to you, God, in community, holy in one. O good and gracious Lord, with crumbs of bread and drops of wine, you feed us here at your table, and from so little we are satisfied and strengthened to serve you in the days to come. Indeed, you created an amazing world and have given us many varied and wondrous gifts, far more than we deserve and more than we might dream. Yet, along with the rest of the world, we find ourselves wanting even more. So we ask that you turn us from overindulgence to being content with the simple things of life, family and friends, and enough to share with those we meet. Help us, your body on earth, to seek ways to encourage others towards wholeness and hope through generosity and kindness and through the gifts of our financial wealth that we have returned to the church to be used in your behalf. We pray, too, that you will help our leaders to act with humility and seek to protect your word and the peoples, animals, and plants that live in it. We lift up to you the homeless who live here and throughout the world. Help them find their way to safe lodging and in good times to fresh starts in new homes. We pray for all who are ill or feeble. We rejoice that Dwayne has returned to our midst here in Zanesville. Surround all of them and their loved ones in such compassion that they sense your ever-healing presence. We pray for all of this, as well as the private prayers of our hearts, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we forgive our debtors, but deliver us. Amen. According to Luke, on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, and whenever you do so, remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Every time you eat of this bread or drink of this cup, you do so remembering the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. Thanks be to God. Take, eat, and drink. Let us pray. O heavenly God, you sent your Son, our Lord, to save us, to feed us. And today he fed us as he fed the 5,000 gathered on that hill. Now through abundance, the abundance of your love, and like the 12, we ask that you send us to feed others. Amen.
Please join us in singing hymn number 354, "Guide My Feet."
Guide my feet.
by the word, fed at the table, fed by the fellowship shared in this space. Mostly we have been fed by the Holy Spirit that has drawn us together. We have been enjoying a great and wondrous banquet. I invite you to go and share this banquet, the joy of knowing the overabundance of Jesus' love with all you meet each and every day. I'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless you, and know that you go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are the community of the Holy Spirit that has drawn us together. Amen.